we could look at that and we could get really depressed about that. Or we could look at things that could cause us to get in fear. You could look at I believe it was yesterday or the day before, there was a big cruise ship that went aground, and that was pretty weird. Way off course, went aground, ripped the big side in it, just, it was almost like the Titanic. Thank God they weren't in a mile of water or anything. There was two or three people killed, but there's still 40 missing, I think. There was about 4,000 people upon the ship. Well, you could watch of that and think, bless God, I'm going to cancel my cruise ship. My cruise vacation. I'm not going to go on there. Pardon?
Have you got one?
I didn't tell you about that, but I'm going to cancel it now. But no, we could get ourselves into the place where we could get in such fear when we see those things that we are, you know, change our plans because of fear. Well, I want you to know that God sees those people who are hungry. God sees those people who are caught up in places of tragedy, but He's not depressed one day of His life. God is not a depressed God, and somehow, I don't know how it's done, but He sees things that's happening in the world, and it doesn't depress Him. Why? Because I believe He's doing everything He can in order to alleviate the suffering of mankind. And when you and I do everything that we're called to do in order to alleviate the suffering where we see it, then we can rest and say, well, thank God, at least we've done everything that we can do. And if we need not get depressed about things that we can't do anything about, we're only called to do something about what we can do something about. God is not a depressed God. Praise the Lord. I mean, it'd be terrible if somebody with real depression was in major depression and needed deliverance that day, and she went to God, but he was depressed that day. He might say, well, I might as well stay where I'm at. No, God is not he's not depressed. He hasn't been depressed a day in his glorious life. And he doesn't want you and I. Humans have never been created to be depressed. We've been created to experience the joy of the Lord. We've been created to experience him in his fullness. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Now we think of Joseph. I want us to think about this a little bit. Joseph, if we were going back to the book of Genesis, we'd read about the story of Joseph. Now, Joseph had a governmental anointing upon him. Joseph was anointed of God right from the very beginning, from his childhood days, he was anointed. And he had some dreams and visions. And when he told his brothers about the dreams and visions that he had, they got upset with him because he was out of time. He had an anointing on him, and of course, Joseph had 11 brothers, and he said he had this dream about all the, basically, I'm going to say the interpretation of the dream here was basically about all his brothers bowing down to him. And so, of course, that would get you kind of mad if you were in a family. And, you know, most men have a degree of pride in there, so when you start telling, you're going to bow down to me. All you guys are going to be bow down to me. Well, that's not a very smart thing to say, not to your 11 brothers, and think that things are going to be all right. But his anointing was on him for that. Well, what does his brothers do? His brothers threw him in a pit, and they sold him as a slave into Egypt. The anointing was still on him. It was still there. He went to Egypt, went into Potiphar's house, and was the chief steward for Potiphar's house. And what happened there? Well, Potiphar's wife got the hots for him, and he got in trouble. And Potiphar had him thrown in jail, went to jail for 7 years. Now, in the midst of that place, in the midst of his trial, the anointing of God was on Joseph, and he got favor from the prison guard. So that he basically run the prison. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Joseph used his anointing in a disaster situation in his life. When he was going through a trial, when things weren't going right, when he was locked up in prison, he didn't stand there and complain. He didn't talk about how God deserted him. He used the anointing that was on his life in order to do the things that God wanted him to do while in the prison. And all that work, through that 7 years in prison, God was molding him and shaping him to rise him to the place of prominence in the land of Egypt, to the place of prime minister in the land of Egypt. Now, when he went through that place of disaster, we might say, having been sold into Egypt and then spent years in prison, God was shaping him and molding so that he could come to his fullest potential in demonstrating the anointing of God in the land of Egypt with his wisdom that God would give him. Now, what are you doing with the anointing in your situation? This is something we have to ask ourselves. What are we doing with the anointing of God that's on our lives? We already read where God said that he put an anointing on us. What are we doing with it in the situation that we're in? Are we so caught up about our situation and seeing that it's such a terrible situation and all the rest of it that we forget about the anointing of God? We forget about that ability to bring us out of that situation. It says one word I have for you this morning, no matter what situation you're in, you don't have to stay there.
Amen.
I don't care if you've been dealing with depression, oppression, whether it's a financial situation, whether it's a healing situation in your body, you can believe God for the anointing of God to come in and remove that. But we're going to have to act like Joseph. We're going to have to come to this place where be willing to submit to those over us like Joseph did, but use the anointing of God just to gain little bits of putting a foot forward each time. Think about this Joseph in the prison. He was in there. And he began to treat, obviously he treated the other prisoners with kindness. What are you doing in your situation? That's something we have to ask ourselves. What do we do? What do we do? What if we're really depressed one day? We all have to work at this now. Every single one of us have to work at this. And if we don't, we're going to miss it. I try to get down, right down to where the rubber meets the road, right down to family life. Now, I wasn't like this in the past, but I'm growing into it more and more. Sometimes Debbie and I might come home. And just the other day, I come home and I don't know what was on me. Something was on me. I was just really kind of down and out about something. And I got home and Debbie wasn't down and out. I mean, she was kind of, I would just want it to be by myself. I didn't tell her about this because sometimes it's better not to. But sometimes you get to that place and I was just kind of down and out a little bit and she was kind of, and I was sitting there and I was thinking, Lord, let some of that what's on her get on me right now. And she talked around for a bit for a while, and then I said, keep preaching it. Whatever she was saying was kind of helping me to get out of where I was at. Because I didn't want to yield to that anymore. I want to yield to the anointing that will bring us out of that. I want to yield to the anointing that will lift us out of being under a yoke of oppression or depression. We don't have to stay there. God can move us. And that's one of the biggest issues that every individual has to believe. Make a decision that you don't have to stay where you're at. Make that once you make that decision, you begin to work toward deliverance. Some of you, that will mean showing up here on Wednesday night to hear about being delivered. Did you get that now? For some of you, that will mean taking the step to at least show up where they're going to be talking about deliverance. I mean, that's just common wisdom, folks. This Christianity is not rocket science. It's just walking in the things of God, being obedient. Joseph held on to his integrity in the midst of all that. And then one day, Joseph was in the prison. He started, you know, dealing fairly with the prisoners. And then, you know, he obviously wanted to get out of there because when the baker and the cupbearer and the butler were thrown in the prison, and he interpreted their dreams for them. And when they went back up, when the cupbearer, I believe, was restored to his position, he said, when you go and stand before Pharaoh again, tell him about me. Why? Because I don't want to be in here anymore. He was simply saying that. I don't want to stay in this place. I don't want to stay in this dungeon that I'm in. I want freedom. So when you go and stand, remind him, let him know that I'm down here and that I've been put here without just cause. We all want deliverance. But in the midst of injustice, Joseph held on to his integrity. And you and I have to do that in every part of our life. Now, the anointing must be worked in you and through you before it will come out of you to bless others. The anointing must be worked in you and through you. Now, I can take this anointing oil here, and I can anoint someone with that and put it maybe on your forehead, which we often do as a sign of the Holy Spirit being upon you. But what do we do with that anointing? You know, anointing, as I say, means to rub on. I remember seeing my dad, sometimes he would take some ointment and rub upon an injured horse, for instance. I used to see him rub that muscle, and then he'd rub it in there. And when it comes to the anointing oil, it's got to get on the inside of you. Now, I'm saying the anointing oil, referring to the anointing of God, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in your life. But it's got to come in such a way that it begins to get on the inside of you, because that's where it'll begin to change you. Often the anointing will come upon us from the outside, and we have to determine what we're going to do with it. But if we're around the anointing enough, if we're in the presence of the anointing enough, it'll begin to saturate us. I remember years ago, Debbie and I were down east, and there was a coffee house down there. And there was a place where they ground beans, coffee beans. And, pardon? Roasting them as well, yeah. And they, I guess they didn't grind them, they roast them. But anyway, in this place, where they were roasting the beans, there was this guy, and he was showing us around. He was talking for a while, and he started telling us a whole bunch of stuff, and he was talking real fast. And then suddenly he stopped. I know that you may think I've had 12 cups of coffee today, but I never had one. He was talking that fast, and you had to try to catch the... But he was saying, the caffeine is so in the air that it saturates me, and it gets him so hyper. And after that, he had to install a bunch of fans to get that out. But that's what the anointing of God will do, if you'll be open to it. If you'll be around it enough, the anointing of God will begin to saturate you so much on the inside that you'll sense that anointing coming, giving you the ability to do things. For the anointing has come to give you ability and power to do those things that you cannot do on your own. For you will remember that the word of the Lord says that the things of the Spirit will be accomplished by the Spirit. And as you yield to the anointing that is on you and in you, there'll be a greater measure given to you so that you will rise up. You'll find an ability that you didn't have before. But always realize that that comes from the Lord. For that fruit that comes from your life that will bring you into abundance always comes from the Lord. Yes, the seed of the Word of God will go deep within you and it'll begin to grow. Ha ha ha. But the Lord will cause the increase. It'll cause it to grow. It'll cause it to produce the kind of fruit that comes from the kingdom of God, and it'll bless you, and others will pick fruit from your life and they'll so enjoy because they will receive from the nourishment of heaven itself. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what I said in tongues. When the anointing gets on us, it'll drive out sickness and disease. The anointing will lift off oppression and depression. The anointing, it's just like it'll change your environment that you're in. It seems like when the anointing comes, it can change the very atmosphere that we live in. The anointing. And it'll come and it'll be a... like a resident anointing, or it's like the presence of God comes and just kind of lingers. I remember Alistair Petrie's wife, Marie, coming one of the first times she was in this building. She walked up halfway. There was nobody else in the place, and she stopped. And tears started coming in her eyes. She said, I just sensed the angels of God. I sensed the angels of God coming in this. See, when you honor God in a place, whether it's a church or a building in your home, if you will honor God, you open the door for angelic presence to come. You open the door for the anointing to be released upon everybody that comes through the doors. As you take time to continually welcome the Spirit of God, you'll find that anointing and that favor of God on your life in an ever-increasing way. Thank you, Jesus. The anointing will preserve the good things in your life, and it'll break the yoke that holds you, that ties you to the bad things in life. The anointing will do that. It's something that's rubbed on. Do you ever get a back rub? Do you ever get oil rubbed on your back? Do you ever get anointed with something? Usually you have to be still. You can't be running here and there and get anointed. You have to be still long enough for the person to administer the anointing to you. God wants you to be still long enough with Him so that He can rub that anointing in, that He can work it in to our very spirits, so it'll begin to come up and produce awesome things. It's not haphazard. King David was anointed by the Spirit of God. Samuel poured a bunch of oil over him and anointed him to be king over Israel. Many years later, he stepped into that kingship. Some of us today think that we come, even when it comes to coming to Christ, sometimes we think we can come and everything will be rosy from here on in. Well, if we've been saved very long, we know that's not true. We know that our destiny has been sealed, but there's things that God wants to work in and through our lives in order so that we might fully be able to release the fullness of the anointing upon our lives, the ability that God gives us in order to carry out the destiny, the plan that He has for us. Now listen to this for a moment, one of the keys. I mentioned integrity for being a recipient of the favor of the Lord. Now listen to this one in Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. The Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. The Lord takes pleasure in your prosperity. Spirit, soul, and body. He takes pleasure in, He says, let them shout for joy who favor my righteous cause. If we favor God's righteous cause, God takes notice. God takes notice when you're excited about doing something for Him. God takes notice when you favor His righteous cause, that you think about, Lord, what can I do for You today? Most often when you say that to the Lord, most often He will give you a service to His people. He will say, I want you to serve those people that I love so much. We know that He loves His church. I want you to serve my people. I want you to love what I love. Jesus said, I have not come to be served, but to serve. Should you and I have a higher position than Jesus? I don't think so. He said that He came to serve, so you and I are anointed to serve. Whether we like that or not, that's just the way it is. You and I are anointed to serve. And when we use this word ministry, we're anointed to minister, all that means is we are anointed to serve. The translation of a word called ministry simply means that we are servants. We are servants. Servants of God to serve whom God tells us to. Because He's the one, He's our head. So we listen to Him. Praise the Lord. I'm sure we're all excited about that one. Anointed to serve. And sometimes, you know, it says, let them shout for joy and be glad. You might say, well, I have a hard time. Did you ever shout for joy? So a whole bunch of people haven't shouted for joy. They never let themselves get so joyful that they couldn't help but shout. Well, maybe it's because sometimes we're not favoring His righteous cause. Because He said, let them shout for joy who favor my righteous cause. Well, if we're not favoring His righteous cause, maybe we got nothing to shout about. But when we favor His righteous cause, we shout for joy because we're excited about what He's excited about, and that His excitement gets into us. That anointing gets in us and we get excited and we begin to shout. I remember Jesus when the disciples came back and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. What did Jesus see? The Bible says he rejoiced before his God. He was full of joy when he heard the success of the ministry that had just gone forth, the success of service that had just gone forth. Let them shout for joy. Glory to Jesus. Are you shouting for joy today? Hallelujah. Think about that a little bit. Are you favoring his righteous cause? Now, the world will do everything it possibly can to keep you so busy, keep you thinking that you're so busy that you can't favor his righteous cause, that you don't have time for favoring his righteous cause. The world will do everything it can to sidetrack us. And as long as we're sidetracked, that anointing will just lay there dormant. It won't increase if we're not favoring his righteous cause. But when we favor his righteous cause, that anointing will begin to flow and flow and flow in a greater measure as we serve people, as we minister people. And suddenly we'll find one day that that anointing that was used so much to serve other people begins to come back on you now. And you're seeing some things in your life, favor in your life that's coming. You don't know where it came from, but it was that residue of the anointing of God that flowed through you so much that the power of God begins to affect you where you're at. But it starts out by serving him. Praise the Lord. Well, let's stand, please. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Let them shout for joy who favor his righteous cause. Let them shout for joy who favor his righteous cause. Let them shout for joy. Let them shout for joy. Where's our worship team? Let them shout for joy.
Yes.
Let them shout for joy.
Yes.
Who favor his righteous cause.
Yes.
Sometimes we need to shout, simply shout that yoke that's on us. We can shout it off us sometimes. I'm sorry, it's just whenever you're caught in worship sometimes, this is something that's very important because there's things in the spiritual, folks, that will be look foolish in the natural. And Scripture bears that out. Things of the Spirit are foolishness to those who are stuck in the natural. And sometimes when we're worshiping God, when we're praising God, and sometimes there's a welling comes up in the inside of you, it just seems like a joy, and you hold it back. If you release it, it could be the release of the very thing that you're looking for in your life. When you stand before God and suddenly you just become so thrilled with what God has done, and he has touched you in such a way that you feel like you want to shout, then it's time to shout.
Amen.
In worship, in praise. And it can be the release, your release, the release of God's blessing and anointing upon your life. I told you, I mean, if we're going to keep our eyes on spiritual things, it's going to be different than what's going on in the natural. But One day, you see where it's all going to pay. One day. One of the greatest mysteries and the things that look so foolish after Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and the Holy Spirit came upon the people, 120, in the day of Pentecost, and they all began to speak in other tongues. And some of the people of the day said, look, they're drunk with new wine, and it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They're all drunk. They criticized him. It looked foolish to the world, but look what came out of it. The power of the Holy Spirit was ministered to his church, and we've seen the increase of his government came, even to this day. Praise the Lord. Father, this morning as we worship you, God, we thank you for the increase of your anointing. We thank you, Father, for you, Father, flowing in us in such a way that anointing pulls on your favor, God. That favor comes to your people. I declare the favor of God upon these people, Lord, that Jesus Christ will be exalted in a new way, Father, that a new, fresh measure of the anointing of God will come upon us. Father, you have declared that to each one is given the measure of faith. And Lord, I pray that would increase in 2012. Faith that will cause us to believe for the anointing of God in a new measure. In the name of Jesus Christ. Well, let's worship him and see where the Holy Spirit leads us from here.